What's up, everyone? This is Dariusz Kalwarczyk, co-founder of MG Poland, JS Poland, Quick Poland, and WorkshopFest.dev. Welcome back to the JavaScript Master Podcast. Today, together with Neil Kaufman, who is an excellent speaker, trainer, GDE, vegan like me, front-end tech lead, Atikal, we will talk about Next.js. Hi Neil, how are you doing?
Doing great. So happy to visit here again.
For those who don't know you yet, please tell us about yourself.
For the last 15 years, I believe, I'm focused on the client side, web development. On the technical, my technical career goes around. I started with building simple website with JavaScript and HTML through Flex and Flash, the whole revolution of single page applications. So I was there even before front-end development was a real title. So that's what I do in my professional life. And along the way, for the past 10 years, I'm very involved in the community. I'm a big believer in the community. In every opportunity, I share my knowledge. I believe the knowledge should be shared between everyone. And yeah, basically, I believe that's a little bit about myself.
Which frameworks and libraries do you use on a daily basis?
So currently, on a daily basis, I'm use Angular and React on a daily basis. On my side project, I'm using Flutter. So it's kind of, I'm doing everything related to UI engineering and front-end development. But most of the time, the main framework are probably React and Next.js, actually, these days. But you can say React and Angular are the main frameworks that I use.
Can you give me your perspective on current trends in front-end development?
Yes, of course. Actually, I believe we are living in a very interesting era in front-end development specifically, because it seems like we're going back to where we started, because the current trend in front-end development is to think, let's say it server-side rendering first, or let me rephrase it, how can we deliver the minimal amount of JavaScript to the browser? We can see it everywhere. We can see it with Quick, the new framework. We can see it with Next.js and server-side rendering. And it's kind of funny because these are like the hottest trends today. But I remember how much time, like maybe 12 years ago, when I just got started with web development, that was the trend because of technology. The minimum amount of JavaScript that need to be delivered to the browser. And, you know, if the people that listening to this podcast are, yeah, know what's going on, so you probably heard about like the new trend called signals, reactivity in the front end. And I found this funny as well, because signals are the same concept was exist in a very old framework called Knockout. Wait, it was Knockout. Yeah, Knockout, if I remember right. So these are the trends today. To summarize, these are basically the same things that old developers like me used to do like 10 years ago. But that's what's going on right now.
If we talk about Next.js, so what is Next.js and what company made it?
So it was created by Raul. I believe it's his first name, before he became the CEO of a company called Verso that we know today. And Next.js, basically, it's a set of tools and technologies built on top of React to enable full-stack development with JavaScript. Now, we need to explain it a little bit more, because the whole idea behind React was, let's create a small focus library that deals with one thing, which is rendering user interface. But that's not enough to build an entire web application. That's the reason we used to use other frameworks like Angular, for example, or Ember, to build, like, to use a set of predefined modules and conventions in able to build a web application. Now, in the React ecosystem, when I build a full web application, I'm probably going to pick up a lot of other libraries for data fetching, for styling, for like routing, handling forms, maybe performing some server-side rendering. And Next.js is kind of, let's gather a set of tools that completes React and enable a good DX, developer experience. So you can use your knowledge, but you don't need to look around and grab like a bunch of other libraries and conventions to be able to build something complete. So Next.js considered to be kind of, some people call it a meta framework, like a framework on top of React, but I see it as a framework, just a framework that happened to use React as the rendering engine.
Why and when do you choose to use Next.js?
And that's the best question for every framework. Yeah, well, Next.js I will choose if I work with a team of people that already use React. And that's probably going to be my only motivation, because every framework, every tool out there got its pros and cons. Every library, every framework, doing great stuff, but got its own problems and its own issue. So it's not. I don't believe that choosing one framework on top of another, just because of tiny performance differences or you know, non-issues or unknown issues, that's the best thing to do. I'm looking at the team. I'm looking at the people, because eventually, there is a human beings that need to be productive and build something useful and fast. So I will choose Next.js if people are used to React and more like, let's say, JavaScript-oriented front-end development. For the same reasons, I will use Angular for people who used to work with TypeScript or maybe some backend technologies. Or solid if people are used to minimal amount of vanilla JavaScript. So to summarize this, I will choose Next.js if I feel that the team that's gonna work with this technology, they will get the best developer experience based on their own experience.
How does server-side rendering SSR in Next.js improve page loading and search engine indexing?
Yeah, so SSR, server-side rendering, is like we said at the beginning, it's not new to the front end to web development, generally speaking. Actually, it was a very, very good idea back then, but the internet was very, very slow. That's the reason we created single page applications to give the user more desktop-like experience. Now, how it is improved today? It's kind of funny. We build very complex applications that require a lot of JavaScript. But when you explore these apps, you find out that a lot of the UI parts can't be static. You can generate them on the server side and deliver them as simple HTML. So the first impact, the first improvement of SSR is performance. You see something very, very fast. Even if it's not working yet, but you can see it, it's useful. It gives the user a feeling there's something going on. You can see the structure of your app. That's the first benefit. The other benefits is SEO, search engine optimizations, because up until today, even though the search engines become much better, it's very, very hard to scan and understand a dynamically rendered single page application. But if we're talking about SSR, we probably want to talk about other types of static generation. So that's the benefits. It's not new to Next.js. Next.js doesn't do anything special talking about server-side rendering, but it does leverage one feature of React, which called server-side components, which I think is very, very cool. So the experience, the developer experience in Next.js is that you as a developer, you're building a React component in exactly the same way that you used to build React component when you build single page applications. But these components renders on the server, but it's completely transparent for you as a developer. So one benefit of Next.js, I would say, that you don't need to think about server-side rendering. Actually, that's the default in Next. Every component that you defined rendered on the server, unless you specify specifically on top of it, please render this one on the client side. So that's one of the things that I like in Next.js, that it's completely transparent for us as developers.
Can you explain static site generation, SSG, and how it affects web application performance?
So it's actually depends on what you're building. I mean, static site generation means that during build time, we take everything JavaScript, especially JavaScript and all the dynamic parts, and generate static HTML, and that's it. And that's happened during build time. So you end up with a bunch of static files that can be cached on the client side, can be cached on the server side, very, very fast to deliver, which again, it gives you performance, it gives you SEO, but you lose the dynamic part of generate UI dynamically. So you choose a static site generation when you have content that a lot of content like blogs, like news, like a lot of marketing text that it's not changed too much. There is not too much benefit of dynamically render it. It's okay if the build time gonna be a little bit longer. It's not a big deal. I mean, so it's depend on the product. But put it all aside, the beauty of framework like Next.js, that we can combine three different methods of rendering within the same app. So we can decide that part of it gonna be static site generation, generated statically. Part of it gonna be rendered on the server side, and part of it going to be rendered on the client side. So, talking about the previous questions, another benefit probably of Next.js is that we can enjoy all the possibilities of UI rendering.
What advantages does Next.js offer for API development and integration with other services?
So Next.js is considered to be a full stack framework. But that's just a phrase. Technically speaking, Next.js introduced a feature called a file-based router, which means that we defined our folder structure, and behind the scenes, our routing is defined by the folder structure. Speaking about data fetching, built in Next.js is the ability to create a file with a very specific name, because Next.js is driven by conventions. So you just need to pick up the right names and let the framework do the rest. That enable us to actually create what Next.js called API routes or API handlers, which means that in between our front-end application, we can define specific files that gonna act like an API endpoints, which means that integration with every let's give it another name, every third party service out there is easy as well, like working with Node.js. But again, without thinking about it too much. So you just create a file, you use the conventions, use a specific function, and then you can call whatever API you like. And it feels very, very natural because everything lives in within the same folder structure, but with specific conventions. So that's one benefit of data fetching in Next.js, that it's actually let us define a data API endpoint. The other benefit is because Next.js has render everything on the server by default, a lot of the data fetching actually happen on the server side, which means that again, as a developer, it's transparent. I can create a special functions that fetch data, but technically speaking, Next.js behind the scenes will fetch the data on the server side and provide it to the client side. And then a bunch of optimization built on top of it. For example, if you've got a tree of components and each one of them need to fetch some data, but some of them render on the server side, some of them are dynamically rendered on the client side, and you find yourself repeating the same line of code to fetch the same data, Next.js knows how to optimize it, how to group them together, how to handle cache, and all of the things that I just talked about is without writing a single line of code.
You're listening, JavaScript Master Podcast. Listen, code, repeat. Everything you need to know to become an JavaScript super developer.
How has Next.js gained popularity among developers, especially those working with React.js-based applications?
How it's popular? Well, very, very popular because, like I said before, every React developer, eventually, when you worked on real projects, you find yourself building your own framework. So Next.js become very, very popular because it just saves us the effort of creating our own framework from a bunch of other libraries and give us conventions. And if that's not enough, recently on the new React docs on the website, Dan Abramov officially declared that the React team is suggesting using Next.js if you build a complete web application. So now it's like the official recommendation of the React team. I mean, use Next as a framework. Use React if you've got small features that you need dynamically. And that gives another huge boost to the popularity of Next.js, which I think it's going to be, yeah, pretty much okay to say that today Next.js considered to be the mainstream, the default go-to React-based framework.
So what are the key differences between Next.js and other popular web development frameworks?
Well, you said popular frameworks because currently we've got a bunch of new ideas. If we put all the new ideas aside, like Qt, for example, that completely changed everything. It's like a new way to approach the same problem. But if we're talking about a popular framework out there, so we should talk a little bit about Angular. How Next.js compared to Angular? Well, Next.js is kind of supporting more modern approaches out of the box of building web applications. Right now, today, for example, server-side rendering is still not easy in Angular as it's natural to Next.js today. It's going to be supported, the team working on it. It's going to get better and better, but Next.js offer this feature today, transparently. This is just one example. A lot of optimizations that Next.js offer are like coming up to other popular frameworks. And, you know, and eventually when we say the word popular, it's like there aren't too much popular framework out there currently. Popular. There are a lot of frameworks, but not popular. So everything kind of end up with Vue and Angular. And, well, React is not a framework, but now we've got Next. And this is like currently kind of the mainstream. And today we see the rise of Qt and the comeback of Solid.js and another new ideas. So like comparing to Vue, for example, to my opinion, Next.js was able to keep the idea behind React of keeping the coding experience feels very, very JavaScript native, although there is a lot of magic going on around it. And I don't have too much experience with Vue, but I did talk with my college and I seen some projects, and Vue.js, just like Angular and other frameworks, got a very, very, very rich API, which is like a layer of abstraction on top of kind of, let's call it vanilla JavaScript code. So comparing to other frameworks, I would say that, like, to summarize it, that Next.js, again, to my opinion, was able to provide me as a developer a full framework, but still keep the feeling of writing simple JavaScript that I can understand. I mean, there aren't too much like directives and template languages and magic API and methods. I mean, you're looking at Next.js app, and it's an API that can be easily taught to a JavaScript developer.
Can you discuss the role of the Next.js community in the development and adoption of the framework?
Because React is a library for building UI, and for almost 9 years since React was released, maybe even more, I believe it's even 10 years past, the community built a lot of libraries and tools to complete React. And Next.js did a very, very smart move, to my opinion, and adopted these ideas to the framework, adopted these conventions. So Next.js is kind of a framework that was built from within the community, even though it wasn't official. Like, hey, everyone, come and contribute. Next.js is like a collection of conventions and tools and ideas that the community actually created, adopted, and used for the last few years. And still on, you know, Next.js is open source. Next.js is like, welcome any contributor out there. And to be honest, there aren't too many options. I mean, there was Remix, but it didn't gain too much popularity like Next.js. And basically that's it. I mean, that's what you've got out there. So you don't have too many. There's a community of developers who use React. It's kind of, it's all end up right there in Next.js. That's it.
Can you discuss the learning curve for developers moving from React.js to Next.js?
I'm teaching front-end developers, React developers, of how to use Next.js. And from my experience up until now, the learning curve is too flat. I mean, a lot of React developers feel very, very natural to start building full-stack applications with Next. Because of basically two things. One, it's still React, the same syntax, the same approach. It's still React components, even if you render them on the server or render them on the client or generate static assets out of them. So if you know how to work with React, you can jump in and be very, very productive on designing components and UI. The second reason, like we said before, because Next.js kind of adopted a lot of ideas that came from the community, a lot of conventions. So if you are a React developer and you already got a few years of experience and you build some products for some different companies, there is a very, very good chance that you created a folder structure and some conventions that are very, very, very similar to what's going on inside Next. So speaking about learning curve, yeah, for a React developer, it's going to be easy. Coming up from other frameworks, that's going to feel a little bit strange because Next.js doing something that other JavaScript frameworks tried to do before. If you remember, Meteor? You remember it, yeah. Meteor, yes. So for the people who are hearing this, if you don't know Meteor, so Meteor was a was a full stack framework that gave us like the ability, like kind of transparently code things that can run both from the server side and the client side with a lot of conventions to glue everything up. There is a framework called Sales.js, if you're familiar with it. It's kind of like try to mimic the ideas of Ruby on Rails. And again, conventions over configurations. So there were some attempts to create frameworks that build on top of for conventions. You need to give specific names, you need to apply to specific rules, and you get a lot of benefit from the framework. Most of them failed during the past years. But Next.js is kind of bring it on again. In Next.js, you've got very, very strict conventions. You need to give a file a very, very specific name, and then everything works as magic. If you don't choose the right name, everything falls apart. But it feels like that today, we as developers are, as JavaScript developers are ready to this idea. So I believe that speaking about learning curve is more about learning the set of conventions. If you're a React developer, but if you're coming up from other frameworks that doesn't like convention driven by convention, you are used to write a lot of code, and you've got a lot of freedom to do whatever you want. So Next.js might be a little bit tricky for you.
Nir, as a mentor at the Workshop Fest 2023, could you please provide some insights into the exciting experience participants can look forward to throughout the extensive four-day workshop event?
First of all, like you said, it's going to be a 4 days, a full day's workshop. And it's going to be 4 days because I develop a complete process of learning Next.js, but starting with React. I mean, the people the audience that should attend to this kind of workshop is basically, let's split them into three different categories. If you are new to React, that's the, like, you've got a little bit of experience, you see it here and there, but you don't know how to use React, the first 2 days of this workshop is all about giving you a solid foundation of how to work with React as a library. The first day will start from scratch, focusing on understanding everything going on. So you end up, you can expect to end up the first day, if you don't know React, as not as a React user or React developer, as a developer that actually knows exactly how the library works and understand the library. So that's the first expectation, it's the first day. If you already know React, the second day is advanced React. You can start right there. So you can come with your React knowledge, get a boost of about all the new APIs, the current trends, the best practices, techniques that I took from 9 years working with React and brought it into the framework. So after the first 2 days, you will know React very, very, very well. Not just understanding, also know how to navigate the docs, the API, dig inside the source code, and so on and so. The next 2 days is Next.js. So it's all about, let's take React and start learn all the conventions and then API that will enable you to build a full stack web applications. By the end of these 4 days, you can expect to have enough knowledge to start a project from scratch to deploy. So we're going to take everything from the first line of code, writing everything from scratch until it deploys to production using all the modern tools out there. And when I said all the modern tools, I'm talking about modern CSS libraries, I'm talking about ORM, I'm talking about database, I'm talking about third-party services for deploy. So you can expect to get like everything you need to know to be able to build a full stack application from scratch. You just need to choose where you want to start. And speaking from my experience, even if you know how to work with React and you're considering coming to this workshop, I advise to start from the first day. Because when I teach people that works with React for 2 or 3 years, I've got a lot of feedback that, well, we know how to work with React, but we didn't have a chance to really understand what's going on behind the scenes. So if you're listening and you know how to work with React and you want to participate the workshop because you want to learn advanced React or Next, and you're thinking about skipping the first day, let me surprise you. Let me try to surprise you. And I highly advise you to keep your open mind and start the journey from day one.
How should I prepare for this workshop? Are there any special requirements?
My answer for all of my students for people who doesn't know me too much, you know, I've been teaching for almost a decade. And it's always the same advice. I mean, don't read the docs. Don't prepare. Let me guide you. Let me take you into a very specific journey that I built. Come open-minded. Even if you already played with Next or like learn from the docs, my only advice to prepare, forget everything. Come like as clean as possible, but it's very, very important to say that you should have basic knowledge of web technologies. We're gonna use TypeScript, obviously, but we're not gonna cover the basics of how the web works or browsers or HTML or CSS or basic JavaScript. But the best preparation is just to come clean. Don't prepare at all. Let me guide you through the whole process. Give it a chance. If you have any, I just want to say to everyone that's gonna listen and consider to come to this training, you are more than welcome to. If you have any technical questions, if you see the advertising but you're not sure that exactly what to expect and you need some more information, my email is out there. Feel free to contact me. Ask whatever you want to ask until you feel comfortable if that's the right track for you. Because it's very, very important to me that if you participate to this workshop, to get the maximum value that you can get out of it. So just, you know, you can send them my email, you can publish it. I'm very, very available, very responsive. And just ask questions. If the syllabus is not enough for you, don't be shy, get in touch, and you get all the answers you need.
I am truly honored to have had you as a guest on the podcast today. Your unique perspectives and shared experiences have added a remarkable depth to our conversation. Your willingness to take the time and join us is something I sincerely appreciate. A big thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.